Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. Listen now for the word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Zechariah, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, besides the Palm Sunday scripture passage, this story is called the Triumphal Entry. The Triumphal Entry. Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem like a humble king, something the crowds had never seen before. They were saying, "This is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." That's kind of like us saying, "This is the choir director, Barbara, from Glen Ellen in Sonoma County." Now, they thought they had him figured out, like we have Barbara figured out. But on one hand, they did understand who Jesus was when they said, "Save us, Son of David." Hosanna means save us. Hosanna is a combination of the Hebrew word Yasha, which means deliver or save, and Anna, which means beg or beseech. And you may have noticed that was in Psalm 118, said, "Hosanna, save us. We beseech you." And so, literally, Hosanna means, "I beg you to save us," or "I beg you to deliver us." And then when they call him the Son of David, that does mean he is the Messiah. The Messiah had to be a descendant of King David. And when Jesus then was connected in the lineage through Joseph, according to Matthew, and also through Mary's lineage, according to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is a descendant of David. The Bible makes sure that he's doubly linked to King David. And then on the other hand, the crowds, though, still called him a prophet as well. The term Messiah means promised deliverer of the Jewish nation, as prophesied in the Hebrew Bible. So it is possible that the Messiah is also a prophet, because a prophet can be a deliverer too. But it also meant that Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace, Messiah, Savior, King of Kings. Jesus is many things all at the same time. He's effable and ineffable, compassionate and revolutionary, God in the flesh and Mary's firstborn son. So who do you believe Jesus is? Palm Sunday is a good day to ponder your feelings about Jesus and be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. How do you incorporate your faith in Jesus in your daily life? How do you follow him today as a modern-day disciple? Well, we've been pondering during this Lenten season how God is present with us in the darkness. I started out talking about this so many weeks ago now, it feels like. And now with the Holy Week coming up, it's a good opportunity to really sort through your sense of God's presence in your life, especially in the darkness, when our pain and our suffering can be obstacles in the way of feeling God's love, and your pain and suffering also can interfere with your ability to see the light of hope. So in Barbara Brown Taylor's book that I started out talking about 6 weeks ago now, Learning to Walk in the Darkness, she explores her own fear of the dark, starting about when she was little and thought there was a monster under her bed. And then she goes on through the book into her adulthood and her fear of darkness to a point where she realizes the darkness she fears now is aging and the transition to losing some of her abilities to function as well as she used to. And I think that is a fear that many of us have, and she addresses that in her book too. And she finds solace in the stories from the Bible that happen after dark. She explores how the Bible explains how the people coped with the darkness. She learns to abide in what feels like God's absence. And Taylor learns to accept the fact that loss is a way of life. Most of all, she learns to trust that the light is still present with her, even if she can't see it. Now, at the end of her exploration of dealing with darkness, she decides to physically remind herself of the light present in darkness by planting a moon garden, is what she calls it, in her backyard. She plants a dogwood tree, white rose bushes, a white gardenia plant, and moonflowers. Now, I didn't even know moonflowers existed, so I looked up what they look like, and they're beautiful. I want to plant some, too. These are all plants that help her remember how much light there still is in the dark. Now, Jesus, after the triumphal entry, the disciples felt they were in the darkness. They weren't sure they really knew who Jesus was. Jesus didn't end up being the kind of revolutionary leader that his Jewish disciples thought he might be. After he turned over the tables of the cheating money changers at the temple market, those watching Jesus then thought he was going to go out and rally his own troop and conquer the authorities. But their dream of Jesus leading a violent takeover never came true. Instead, Jesus goes rogue, as we would say today, and he shows them the way of humble self-sacrifice and forgiveness rather than violence and hate. Reverend Michael Curry, who is the presiding bishop in the Episcopal Church USA, describes the Palm Sunday parade this way. Jesus didn't just happen to be in Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. Jesus was in Jerusalem on purpose. He arrived in Jerusalem about the time of the Passover, when many pilgrims were in the city. When people's hopes for freedom that Moses had promised in the first Passover might suddenly be realized for them in their time. Jesus entered into Jerusalem in a way that would send a clear message to Rome and to the Jewish authorities. He entered on one side of the city at just about the same time as Pontius Pilate made his entrance on the exact opposite side of the city, only he had with him a military parade. Pilate rode a war horse with Roman sword-carrying soldiers all around him. Pilate's triumphal parade represented the empire that had taken away the freedom of the Jews by brute force and violence. In clear opposition, Jesus entered the city on the other side, not on a war horse, but on a donkey, recalling the words of Zechariah, "Behold, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey." Jesus entered the city at the same time as Pilate to show them and to show us that God has another way, that violence and hatred are not the way, that brute force and brutality don't win freedom. Palm Sunday commemorates the first nonviolent protest parade recorded in the Bible. Christ's nonviolent parade inspires us to follow his way. His message is, don't be afraid to protest when you see injustice, but protest in a way that has lasting impact. Protest with the purpose of sacrificial love. That's why Jesus entered Jerusalem. That's why he went to the cross. It was the power of that heavenly love that even after torture of the crucifixion, love's power raised him from death to life. Bishop Curry goes on to explain, God came among us in the person of Jesus to start a movement to change the face of the earth. A movement to change us who dwell upon the earth. A movement to change all of creation into the dream that God intends for it. Jesus didn't just happen to be in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. He went to Jerusalem for a reason. His fearless, triumphal protest sent a clear message to the governing powers that not even the power of death and darkness can stop the power of the love of God. And on that Easter morning, he rose from the dead and proclaimed, "Love wins."